This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
John Murphy, Steve Tasker. Welcome back to our Seneca studio, hour number two. We're going to hear from John Brown coming up maybe later this hour once practice ends. We'll hear from Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds as practice comes to a close today, the first big Wednesday of the practice week. But joining us on the line right now, and he'll be with us every Wednesday throughout the rest of the regular season, happy to have him, NFL insider for ESPN, the host of ESPN's The Fantasy Show, the host of the Fantasy Football Podcast on ESPN. Field Yates joins us. Hello, Field. John Murphy, Steve Tasker here in Buffalo. Thank you for being with us. We appreciate it.
Hey, guys, I appreciate you having me on. Looking forward to talking to you throughout the season.
Yeah, looking forward to it as well. The Bills go up against a Giants team that struggled, especially in the back end of the defense against Dallas. But as I said to Steve first hour, Field, it's only 1 week. I'm reluctant to say that's who the Giants are. What's your take on that?
Well, you know, I think the Giants came into this season with somewhat of like, you know, it was an interesting offseason, to say the least. Let's start there with the New York Giants, is that of all the things that the Giants did this past offseason, many of them did not necessarily play out well in the court of public opinion, which you can decide whether that matters or not, right?
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately the wins and losses are what dictates how an offseason is viewed when it matters, which is after the fact. But the Giants came in with somewhat moderate expectations this year. You know, they certainly feel as though they can be better than most believe they could have been. But week one was, you know, an unfortunate way for the Giants to get things going. Here's the reality for the Giants is that they are going to have to find a way to run their offense through Saquon Barkley while also not falling that far behind. And, you know, on Sunday it got way out of reach, and not only did they not run their offense through Saquon Barkley, who had just 15 total carries, but they did not come anywhere close to staying within breathing distance of the Dallas Cowboys. It was a romping. It was a game that was about as close as the score would indicate.
Yeah, and that's really the question. Is there anybody, and you're the fantasy guy, is there anybody on the Giants besides Saquon Barkley that even gives you a second look?
Yeah, for right now, no, other than Saquon Barkley and Evan Ingram. Obviously, those two players are tremendous in their respective spots. You know, I mentioned how Saquon Barkley had just 15 total touches, and yet he had 120 rushing yards plus his passing game output. So the guy is just tremendous every single time he touches the football. I think he's the best running back in the league. Evan Ingram had, I think, 12 targets last week, and that number could go up even more this week as the team is dealing with Sterling Shepard being in the concussion protocol. Shepard's such a big part of what they can do offensively week to week with so few other wide receivers on their roster right now that really move the needle. So for now, I think you should plan on it being the Evan Ingram and also Saquon Barkley show on Sunday when these two teams square off.
And I know John just said that they, you know, we're 1 week into a long season and we don't know anything about anything yet, but we can overreact. So let's talk about the great overreactions in the fantasy world on week one. Who do you think all of a sudden came from nowhere and may be a fantasy steal, and who do you think you thought was going to be a fantasy home run might turn out to be not so great?
Well, I don't know about – so here's what I would say is a couple of players that came out of nowhere. Depends on what you sort of define that way, because, like, Terry McLaurin generated a bunch of interest in Washington this preseason as a guy that's got a chance to be a real stud for them. The question was, all right, how often or how frequently do we see a player emerge seemingly out of nowhere, the third-round pick at wide receiver? There were some question marks about how much he would be effective in his NFL debut. He was rock solid, though. He played nearly 93% of the offensive snaps for the Redskins, had five catches, 125 yards, and a touchdown. He'd be a guy that I would say has emerged. Now, guys like Hollywood Brown, also obviously often for the Ravens, he played just 14 snaps. So that was one of those games that he's got a chance to grow into a role more, but Terry McLaurin is already an every-down wide receiver for the Redskins. In terms of players that you're a little bit nervous about after their first week, I would say it probably starts with, you know, I think the most questions would be surrounding Todd Gurley. And not that Todd Gurley did not play well in week one, because he did. He had 97 rushing yards in the team's season opener. But we saw Malcolm Brown score two touchdowns and got basically all the goal line work. So, you know, the beauty of Todd Gurley was that, hey, even if he's only getting 15 carries a game, It's a Sean McVay offense. He's probably still going to get, you know, probably two goal line or goal to go carries each Sunday. That wasn't the case this past week. So not benching him, not, you know, trying to cut bait. More just like, hey, you know, you drafted Todd Gurley in previous years for him to be the MVP of fantasy football. I'm not sure that's going to be the case this year.
Talk to us a little bit about Devin Singletary. He kind of emerged a little bit out of nowhere for the Buffalo Bills. He came out, had four carries for 70 yards, and it looks like Buffalo with Frank Gore, T.J. Yeldon, and Singletary, they're going to do it by committee. I know that really doesn't help a lot of fantasy teams, and it kind of people shy away from those kind of guys. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'd say so, is that generally speaking, when you're, you know, playing fantasy football, what you're looking for is what we would call a workhorse back. And, you know, I got to tell you guys, he looked like a workhorse to Devin Singletary from like the middle of the second quarter on. And this past weekend, and I'm sure we'll get into it a little bit, but like this past Sunday's game was just unique in a lot of ways, right, for the Bills. Like it was 20 minutes of ugly sort of, you know, just almost burn the tape type of football. And then it turned around, and it was a reflection of what I think we're going to see this year. But I thought personally, and this was not, and I'm not questioning the decision otherwise, I just, this is my guess would have been that Frank Gore would have played more out of the gates for the Bills. Now, it might have been that they fell behind early, obviously down 8-0 after the touchdown plus the safety, that maybe it was more of a game script thing. But Devin Singletary, not only was he playing a lot, but he was playing effectively. Love the way that he ran a couple of chunk runs, obviously a factor in the passing game, which if you go back and look at his last season at Florida Atlantic, wasn't a huge part of what they did in the passing game. Part of it was just they were running the football so effectively with him. But, yeah, I think there's something to be said for what Devin Singletary accomplished in week one. There's a lot of encouragement if you had either drafted him or, you know, maybe more or less likely are looking for him on the waiver wire this week.
Field Yates joins us, ESPN NFL Insider, host of ESPN's The Fantasy Show. You said something a minute ago I want to kind of dive into, Field, if you would. You mentioned how the way the Bills finished the game offensively, finally moving the ball, you thought that was, I guess, more of what you'll see the rest of the season. What did you see, and how do you expect that will continue?
Yeah, well, here's what I'd say is, you know, I think you guys probably know this. I was pretty optimistic about what the Bills were doing this past offseason, and understanding that, you know, things happen, right? I mean, things can go differently than you expect them to. I mean, we've got a variety of people who are, you know, players that, you know, week one injuries that change the outlook for things going forward, right? So it's a, you know, for the Bills, so based off what I thought was going to happen, I thought the Bills performed well in the second half. But what I saw was, first of all, a refined Josh Allen. Not perfect, obviously, but there's certainly a lot of encouraging signs from him. Beyond that, John Brown was every bit as advertised. And it wasn't just the vertical stuff that people were sort of hoping for from John Brown, but it was sort of just the volume, right? 10 targets, 7 catches, 123 yards, good in competitive catch situations, good after the catch. So I thought the you know, the passing game took off in a way that I didn't see it that frequently take off last year. So I was encouraged by what we saw out of that entire Bills offense from basically like midway through the second quarter on.
Did the 60% pass-to-run ratio surprise you?
No, not really, because of how the game was going. It was, it was obviously an 8-0 game early and sort of stuck in the mud game type early for the Bills offense. But you kind of had to throw to catch up. And then in close games in the fourth quarter, not, you know, that big of a surprise. So I wasn't totally stunned by how it all played out. And I thought that it was, pretty, like, that would be what I would expect given how the game began. In the first half, it was more of a punt fest than it was anything else.
Field Yates joins us from ESPN. Let's talk about Buffalo's opponents a little bit this week, Field, if we can. The New York Giants, who I was thinking the other day how they're kind of in a spot the Bills were a year ago as far as receiving targets, lack of offensive firepower. Golden Tate out first four games, and now Sterling Shepard's in concussion protocol. They might not have anywhere to go with the football this week and maybe for a couple more weeks, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, it's going to be, I saw today they're re-signing T.J. Jones, formerly with the team. And, you know, I don't want to be, I'm not trying to be sort of unkind to T.J., but, you know, that sort of tells you where they're at, right? I mean, like when you're turning to players of that caliber at this time of the year because you might need them to play right away because you've got Sterling Shepard banged up, Darius Slayton, their fifth-round pick, who's dealing with a hamstring issue. You've got Golden Tate, concussed right now. I'm sorry, he's suspended right now, I should say. You know, there are so many players right now that are prominent parts of this Giants offense that aren't necessarily available. It's going to be a grinded out 4 weeks for the Giants. This is one of those years. This whole season, they're going to have to sort of figure it out.
What did you see from their defense? It looked like they just didn't communicate. It was more mental mistakes, I guess I'm saying, than it was physical for the Giants in their defense. Correct?
Yeah, I mean, it was. I'd say probably both, to be honest with you, though. Like, there certainly were some mental and communication errors, but you know, I think just overmatched personnel wise in the back end. You know, they have a player in Janoris Jenkins, a very capable cover corner, but not a lot of other guys that sort of scare you in the way that, you know, if you're facing the Bills, you do your best to find Tre'Davious White and throw it somewhere else, right? That's just not something that the Giants bring pretty consistently with their secondary and their personnel there. But I do think that the Giants, you know, they've got some girth up front, not particularly potent in terms of pure edge rushers. Defensively, again, it's going to be another year for them where the personnel needs a lot of work. I know they made some investments in the first round, and they feel good about DeAndre Baker, a cornerback, eventually becoming a really good player. But for right now, I think this is pretty much it's a defense I think the Bills can do some damage against, what I would say on Sunday.
Fielding, I have one more Giants question for you, and that's about the quarterback, Eli Manning, who I watched most of the Cowboys-Giants game. I thought he threw it well. I thought he played well, which has implications for this Sunday and for fantasy players, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, listen, I think that I don't want to be unkind on the Giants stuff, but
you said that twice
right, yeah, I know. But right now, really, it's for the Giants. It's a two-man band fantasy wise. It is Evan Ingram. It's Saquon Barkley. Two outstanding players in their respective positions. But it's besides that, guys. Sort of the fantasy implications are a little bit more. You're sort of grasping for straws, right?
Yep.
When Golden Tate returns, it's different. But for right now, those are the two names to know.
How good is Evan Ingram at the tight end spot?
Yeah, he's outstanding. He's awesome. And he's kind of a big wide receiver. I mean, not that he's not a tight end, but like in terms of his, like if you saw him, you might think he's just a big wide receiver and not necessarily a tight end because he's so athletic and looks, I mean, like a freak. He is, you know, he ran like a 4.44 at the combine a few years ago. A guy who's going to be soon one of the highest paid tight ends in the NFL once he's eligible for an extension. He obviously saw a ton of volume last week, and I would expect him to see the same thing this week, guys. Doesn't really have a limitation in terms of his, I would say passing route or his route running tree. He's a guy that he's a mismatch. I think that when Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier and the rest of the Bills defensive staff are building their game plan, or when they built it yesterday, my guess is that a lot of it was probably how do we stop 26. And yep. How do we stop 88?
Yep. We're with Field Yates. He is host of ESPN's The Fantasy Show, host of Fantasy Football, a Fantasy Focus Football podcast. We got a couple of questions tweeted in by folks who have fantasy questions. Field, let me throw these at you. From UNCJ, flex position, Alshon Jeffrey, Nick Chubb, or Jarvis Landry?
Wow, great options to have right there. I'd love to have the ability to sit Nick Chubb, but I certainly wouldn't do that. If you're contemplating sitting him, you got a great roster. So I would go with Nick Chubb as my flex spot.
Here's one from Bodot. What's a fair amount of time to hang on to a player at the start of the season?
I'd say at least 4 weeks for somebody you drafted in the first 3 to 4 rounds, provided there's no injury there. Other players, I mean, I've already cut players from my roster after 1 week, but those are players that I had on the back end of my roster that I wasn't anticipating being starters for me.
Yeah, this is another one. You mentioned the Rams and their running back, who Todd Gurley, but they've also got Malcolm Brown. What circumstances should you start running back Malcolm Brown?
Yeah, it has to be a very deep league. If you look closely, and 11 snaps last week, or maybe it was 15 snaps last week for Malcolm Brown. So just because a guy performs really well, logic tells you that if a guy, it's almost like if you saw an MLB player had 6 home runs in 6 games. You say to yourself, like, there's no way he's going to hit the 7, 8, 9, 10 in the next 4 games, right? Like, logic just tells you that it's very hard to hit a home run every single game. And Malcolm Brown kind of had the perfect start to his season in terms of snaps played and the amount he got out of it.
A tweet from Kenneth, a fantasy question. Is Greg Olsen likely to play Thursday night for Carolina? Regardless, can Ian Thomas see significant action and make an impact? What do you think?
Yeah. I think, so I keep my eyes on Ian Thomas because Greg Olsen is a very he's a question mark right now. But Thomas, great athlete, guy who got drafted out of Indiana last year. Didn't have a lot of experience playing football in college. But Olsen, Olsen sounds like he's got a chance. Here's the good news is that if you are considering Greg Olsen and you either have Ian Thomas now or he is available on the waiver wire, you just wait until tomorrow night at about 6:50 Eastern time when the game begins.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing when it's a Sunday night game and you're waiting on, hey, is he going to play or is he not going to play? Because if he isn't, my replacement might be during that 1 o'clock game. If you're, the 4 o'clock games are ideal for that reason. So I keep an eye on that one again around 6:50 Eastern time tomorrow.
Okay, we've got one more question, last one from our listeners about a flex player and his PPR scoring. So who do you play in your flex position for PPR scoring? Is it Singletary, Lindsey, Godwin, or Westbrook?
Singletary, Lindsey, Godwin, or Westbrook. So it's PPR scoring, which is why I would go with Chris Godwin, just points per reception. So typically you skew in favor of wide receivers in that regard. So I would go with Chris Godwin. It was a tough start for the Bucs in week one, but Godwin did find the end zone, and I think he had a chance to be a 90-catch player this year if they get on track. And I know that might not feel likely after week one, but I remind people of what happened in week one of last year. Things like Ryan Fitzpatrick throwing for 400 yards and crazy other weird goings-on that result from a tiny sample size.
Yeah, and that gets to the point I want to ask you here, Field, and that's about somebody like Sammy Watkins. Huge game. And now, of course, we know the Tyreek Hill news, but can you count on Sammy Watkins to be that guy? I mean, should people who have him in their league or maybe are looking to add somebody, is he a guy you want to jump on now?
Yeah, you can count on Sammy Watkins in a major way. Obviously, very familiar to those in Buffalo, and I know that his tenure in Buffalo did not necessarily go as planned. But, any Bills fan who can recall that color rush game against the Jets, I believe it was the week before Christmas in 2015, maybe.
Okay.
But it was the game that the Bills were wearing the bright red jerseys, the Jets were wearing the bright green jerseys, and Sammy Watkins made Darrell Revis look like, and this was still not, this was Darrell Revis, like almost prime Darrell Revis, made him look like a player that did not belong in the field that night. So Sammy Watkins got plenty of natural ability. Patrick Mahomes, obviously, an incredible quarterback. So along both of those lines, that's why you could still have confidence in Sammy Watkins as a player, especially with Tyreek Hill out for what we think could be somewhere between 4 and 6 weeks.
With Tyreek Hill out, does that change your opinion of a freshly acquired LeSean McCoy for the Chiefs as well? Same offense as Sammy Watkins, a lot of options, and the MVP throwing it around. Does LeSean McCoy evolve into something more than just an afterthought in that team?
I don't know about an afterthought. I think he does evolve into more than that. I think, you guys know LeSean well, having spent the past few years around him. There were moments last year where it looked sort of toast. But at the same time, I think everybody would tell you that, it was a growing offense, right? The offensive line, which we know was an area that they needed to improve, given how many players the Bills drafted this offseason and invested in free agency and trades, et cetera. So it was not necessarily the circumstances to set up success for LeSean McCoy. Looked much better in his first game with the Chiefs. Had 81 rushing yards on just 10 carries.
Hey, Phil, I want to ask you about Antonio Brown, and I guess a two-pronged question. Obviously, you keep close eye on the Patriots up there in Foxborough. I'm sure Antonio Brown was a popular and very coveted fantasy pick as well. But beyond that, where does this go, and where do they go from here, I guess, short-term, the Patriots, Antonio Brown, and the civil lawsuit that was filed today? How do you think this shakes out?
Well, the extreme short term is that he's practicing right now as the team is out there for their Wednesday workout. Here's what I would say, guys, because I've had this conversation a bunch this morning with people, is where do the Patriots stand on this? What is the responsibility that they have? And, I think we've seen the league kind of, the protocol has become for teams in some of these cases is, okay, listen, you need to let the legal process run its course. You need to let us investigate. Now, you can do your own due diligence, that's for sure. And if you find something that prompts you to make a move, then that is your prerogative. At the same time, we need to, we are going to do our research here. And I'm not saying that they're sort of taking this out of the hands of the Patriots, but there's a limit on really any team, whether it's the Patriots, whether it's any team that's involved with the situation that's anywhere close to this. I think the team is sort of operating under the idea that, like, here's our plan for now, but that could change at a moment's notice. And the plan for right now is that Antonio Brown is going to practice. And, you know, in terms of playing on Sunday against the Dolphins, we'll see. Now, if he doesn't play, it might be tied to this incident. It also might be tied to the fact that he will have been with the team for a grand total of 5 days before the game begins.
And it makes a difference, doesn't it, that it's a civil matter and not a criminal matter? That would be a totally different situation, wouldn't it?
It does, yeah. So there's a lot of tentacles to this. And again, it's not – I'm not trying to cast judgments. That's not sort of the spirit of what we're trying to talk about right now. For practical matters right now, I think that Antonio Brown will continue to be on the field for the Patriots until further notice.
Okay.
Thanks, Field.
Good stuff, guys. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.